Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Caparo Valley Coaches Show, Dick Newman. Bringing you the report again this morning with Paul Ramo at his usual position at the control panel. We're going to start things off talking boys golf with Barry Bessonen, who is in the studio. And Barry, you had day one of the section tournament.
We did. Wednesday, we went over to Wilmert Eagle Creek Golf Club for the first day of the section tournament with 11 teams competing, over 60 players, and you know, pretty good conditions. Course was in great shape. You know, dried up earlier on. There'd be a little water on the course, but dried up pretty well. And so the course was in great shape. Of course, this is the first day of the section, so it's kind of a cut down day. They cut the field down and going into the second day, which is coming up on Wednesday the 31st. Overall in the team standings, we ended up in fifth place. Unfortunately, I take the top four teams on to the second day, and we missed the cut there by seven shots. BBE is in the lead with 349. Dawson Boyd is in second at 348. Community Christian at 354 is in third. And YME at 355 is in fourth, so those are the four teams that will be competing for the section championship. As I said, we were fifth at 362. Had a few struggles on the back nine that kind of did us in as we were tracking throughout the day. We were in and out of the top four all day. Kind of nerve-wracking to watch the fluctuations, but in the end, we were just a little short. Bold was sixth, Central Minnesota Christian was seventh, Benson was eighth, RCW was ninth, McCray was tenth, and Buffalo Lake Hector Stewart was 11th. So as I said, those top four teams and all their players will all advance to Wednesday with that. So individually for us, we had two players that have advanced individually to play on Wednesday. We had Carson Bessonen, who shot a 74 to over par.
Wow.
Four birdies on the day, three penalty strokes on the day. he has a four-shot lead on the field. Second place was Brady Schwinghammer from BB. They were playing together. Actually, third place is Ryan Trupp from RCW. The Schwinghammer and Trupp were at 78, 79, so those three were playing together, so it was a pretty good group.
Yes.
Sounds like, from as I said, their group, their fourth player in the group was Cooper McCosh from YME, and they said something like in the group there were 14 or 15 birdies made.
Wow.
So Carson goes in with that lead. Caden Stender also advanced, shot 94, so he'll be able to play on Wednesday. The cut was 95 for the individuals to go on. We also had Gavin Carl, shot 96. Grant Bierke shot 98. Matthew Arndt shot 99. And JT Alstead shot 108 to round out our team play there. And as I said, just seven shots short of moving on. And the other thing, of course, we're only 15 out of first, so it was a tightly packed group of teams. It just we were a little short of the criteria there as a team, but with those two individuals playing next Wednesday, we'll have see how those two can fare on the individual field.
Yeah, and I think Paul will be there covering both you and Dawson Boyd. So you'll have some good results. It's a fun course to play.
It's a fun course. It's very, very challenging. You know, the two sides are a little different. The front is a little longer. There's a couple holes where they're a little more open, especially some of the newer holes out away from the clubhouse, but there's more water. Greens are a little bigger, and you go to the back, which is pretty short, but it's extremely tight and smaller greens. And if you can you know, keep the ball, hit the ball straight, you can really, really score on it. But that's easier said than done on the back with the amount of trees. There's really not much water on the back, but it's just more heavily wooded, kind of the older side of the course, and you know, it plays a lot harder than some people think sometimes. So okay. It's a good challenging course.
Well, best of luck on Wednesday, and like I said, Paul will bring some updates and some live coverage, and we hope that your two can advance on to this. Who qualifies for the state?
The top team plus the top five individuals not on that okay. team. So basically it becomes like 11 players.
Okay.
So, whoever wins that team, those guys are removed from the individual field.
Right.
As far as advancement, they still could place, you know, individually, but they don't count towards the individual count.
And that state tournament is where and when?
It's at Pebble Creek and Becker, and I want to say it's on about June 13th and 14th, okay. I think. So it's a couple
That's
weeks.
That's
2 days
later. As
two
well.
2 days, yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for the report. Knock on wood that you qualify at least one into the state, and maybe two. Never know. So we'll hear all about it next through Paul on Wednesday and from you next Saturday morning.
Okay.
Barry Bessonen on boys golf, and Paul talked to the tennis coach, and we'll have that interview next.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and sporting goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to visit with Austin Ireland. Austin's the head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lochaber Valley Boys tennis team, who's kind of wrapping up their season, but you got a couple guys still going to Austin.
Yeah, that's always good to have.
All right, you started section play this past week. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, Monday, you know, we were the 4 seed. We went to McRae. Did a nice job there, beating McRae 5-2, extended our season, and, you know, that was always a team goal, you know, was to get to that second day of a team session. You know, like I said, I think it was last week, you know, it's kind of like when the basketball teams play at Marshall. You know, we went down there, we took a nice job there. Jackson Beer took on their number one, beating Seehausen, one of the twins there, 6-1, 6-1. Gavin Stoltz at number two singles, beating the other Seehausen twin, 6-3, 6-1. And both those guys have been playing really great towards the end. They're peaking at the right time. Matt Martinson did a nice job at third singles. Another one, senior year, doing a great job, won 6-1, 6-0. Brody Nelson won at fourth singles, 6-4, 6-0. Gunnar Olsen, Luke Stock, they had beaten their guys at that number one double, 6-1, 6-4. And our two doubles, Myers and Boston, ended up losing in three sets. You know, they won that second set, 6-4, but then lost that third set, 7-5. At that point, they were kind of like, oh, shoot, you know, they kind of wish they would have done a tiebreaker. They think things would have been a little bit differently, but that's how it goes. You know, you kind of play it out at section. And then Tony Reeve and Gannon Andrews lost 7-5. So we ended up beating McRae 5-2. Yeah, nice job. Nice job on the year beating it. It's harder to beat a team twice in a year, so it's nice to. And McRae did a good job this year, so.
Okay.
And then, yeah, we advanced to Tuesday. And went to the down at Redwood, taking on Benson KMS there. And, you know, Benson, that's the top team in the section. They ended up going to state. I ended up losing that one 7-0. We gave them a fight, though. You know, the coach came up to me, and he was like, wow, you guys really came to play. And that we did. You know, Jackson Beer lost in straight sets. But gave Hunter LeClaire, the undefeated number one seed, you know, gave him a fight, 6-3, 6-2. And Gavin lost to Brake Bramer on straight sets, 6-2, 6-2. Matt Barnson took on Max Young. He ended up going to three sets. He ended up beating, winning that second set 6-3, but then dropping that third set 6-1. Brody Nelson lost in straight sets 6-2, 6-2. And then our, you know, Olsen Stock lost 6-3, 6-1. Myers and Bonta did a nice job that second set, but they ended up losing that one in straight sets, 7-5 in that second set and 6-2 in the first set. And we switched things up a little bit. We had gave Thomas Felton the nod at third doubles. He's trying to find a little lightning in a bottle. They did a nice job, but wasn't quite enough, losing 6-4, 6-2. So that ended up ending our season as a team. But like I said, you know, we lost to the, you know, top team in the section, and hats off to Benson KMS for a good program, and hope they represent us well in the state tournament.
Who did they play in the section championship to make it to state?
Oh, they played Montevideo.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, they handled them pretty good. So.
Okay. Yeah, good team there. So then you turned to individual tournament, right?
Yeah, on Thursday we went down to Redwood again, and yeah, we had a couple guys. You know, I'm just going to go start with the singles here. We had Brody Nelson. He drew the 11th seed, so he ended up playing number 6 seed from Montevideo, Gabe Lieberman. He lost 6-1, 6-1. Did a nice job putting up some points on there. You know, you're allowed. It's a 16-person bracket. You know, those of you March Madness fans know what, you know, this kind of bracket looks like. And
okay.
Single elimination. So you know, 8 teams in the section, and each team gets 2 representatives. So we had 2 singles players. The other singles player was Luke Stock. He took on a senior from Laverne, and I'm losing that one straight set 6-0, 6-0. And Ethan has a great player. You know, he ended up beating Jackson when we played them down in Laverne. So yeah, those guys ended their season, but you know, for them guys, they got a couple of years yet to come. So it was nice to see them grow and you know, move on to next year.
Okay.
On the double side, you know, we had our number 1 and number 2 singles, Buer and Stoltz, Jackson Buer and Gavin Stoltz. They ended up drawing the number 5 seed. They took on a team from Laverne and beating them 6-0, 6-0. They look really good starting off the tournament play. They won the first round. And then the other team, we had a senior, Matt Martinson, and sophomore, Gunnar Olsen. They did a great job. They put in Benson's number 1 doubles team, who's solid all year long. And they ended up bringing them to 3 sets, you know, losing that first set 6-3, but then winning that second set 6-2. But that third set, you know, they were the better team, and they ended up winning 6-1. So they advanced, yeah, that ended the career of Matt Martinson, but he did a great job there all day. I mean, seeing them go out like that, seeing Matt and Gunnar just enjoying themselves, just playing the best tennis that, you know, they can, and just going out there and having fun, that's something everyone can admire. You know, when you see you guys, because everyone's season's got to come to an end at some point, everyone's career's got to come to an end at some point, but to see it go out with, you know, passion and just high positive energy, that's great. You know, that's always, you know, admirable. So the second round, Buer and Stoltz ended up taking on Hobbit and Carlson from Benson, and they did a great job, you know, beating them 6-4, 6-4. Yeah, they're a dangerous team. You know, one of the McCrae coaches at the seeding meeting thought, you know, our guys should have had a very good chance. He thought we should have been the number 1 seed, but, you know, I didn't, you know, some of that you can argue over, you know, seeding and stuff, but at the end of the day, in order to be the man, you got to beat the man. So, yeah, they're going to advance. They're in the middle round. They will advance up. We play on Tuesday at 9 o'clock start. But they'll take on Tyson Quigley and Simon Fitzcappis from Montevideo. Should be a very, very fun matchup. You know, Tyson and Jackson have been back and forth. They both have been playing number 1 singles for the past 2 seasons. You know, Jackson beat him a couple times. Tyson beat him once this season. But, you know, doubles is a whole different ballgame. So we'll see what happens. You know, and it's a good duo, you know, because Gavin's so, you know, tall and athletic and can hit a lot of great shots, and Jackson, he's just, you know, a workhorse. He's got great footwork, very smart, very cerebral. So it's going to be quite a fun matchup down in Redwood on Tuesday.
Okay, and who are they playing again?
Quigley and Fitzcappis from Montevideo.
Montevideo, okay, all right.
And we do have a true second, so you know, if you win, you know, you're in the finals, but you know. You gotta, you know, how the true second works. You know, if you,
yep,
you know, if the guy you
lose to,
yep. So
okay.
Hopefully it doesn't get to that. You know,
yep.
That's going to be 3 matches in 1 day. So you know, if there is a true second match and it's going to be a little bit warm on Tuesday, so it's going to be a real testament to those. You know, how can we man up and handle the heat?
That's right. All right. Well, good luck on Tuesday then, and the state tournament start the following week then?
Yeah, it's starting the 6th.
Okay, the 6th. Okay.
Six through the 9th. So, or is it 6 through the 8th? So that's down at the Reed Sweat down in Minneapolis in the Concrete Jungle down there. So.
All right. Let's hope we
got to get to there first. So hopefully we can. You know, we got a good shot.
All right, Austin. Thanks for the tennis report this morning.
Thanks a lot, Paul.
Yep, Austin Ireland, head coach of the Dawson Boyd Lacapoix Valley Boys tennis team. We'll take a break, come back with more to Coach's Show after a word from our fine sponsors.
Hats off to our area beef producers during May Beef Month from the Country Butcher in Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. And they're taking pulled pork orders for graduation, so give them a call. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Race fans, you're not going to want to miss this Monday night as Madison Speedway opens up its racing season with the Raleigh Roth season opener, sponsored by Madison Bottling. 6 o'clock Monday night, you'll see all six classes in action. Once again, this Monday night, the Raleigh Roth season opener at Madison Speedway. I'm your track announcer, Scotty Ireland, and we will see you at the track.
Back here at the Coach's Show, going to turn our attention out to girls golf. Kip Stender's in the studio, and same schedule for you, day one of the section golf tournament in Willmar. Good results, Kip.
Yes, yeah, the girls did very well. I'll talk about a little bit about the Tri-State Invitational last weekend.
That's right.
We finished that on Saturday. We talked Saturday morning. The girls were in about 10th place, I think, back then. So they completed the 32-hole tournament, a two-day tournament down there at Bunker Hills. Individually, Hannah Boris from Alexandria won it with a 145, so that is one over par over the 2 days. So
wow.
She's an excellent golfer, and we saw her in Willmar. And the girls were able to golf in pairs. They did a different format, so Molly and Bella golfed together, Kate and Peyton and Caitlin and Grace. So it was nice to coach that way. Really helped us out to get to the girls. But the girls finished well. They finished 17 strokes better than the year before as a team. So that was really nice. And we used that to kind of to show to them how their hard work is paying off. And when they think they can shoot better than what they did, we're like, hey, you shot pretty well. So those types of things, markers that we use to keep them going, keep them motivated, and do very well. So individually, Isabella Jacobs finished with a 167 for 23rd. Molly Halverson was a 168 for 24th. Peyton Sachs shot her personal best on Saturday with an 89, finishing with a 192. That was her personal best for 18 holes. She finished 72nd, tied with Caitlin Kittleson, who shot a 192 also. 84th was Grace Vosick with a 199. She had a nice 199 rounds, consistent there. Kate Alstead finished 113th with a 225. Did well. We learned a lot, and it really helped us for Wednesday last week when we competed in that first round of sections. In between there, we had a JV match in Willmar. The Community Christian School hosted a JV match, so Carly Kranz was able to participate in that, and the girls wanted to watch her, so we went over there to practice a little bit on the greens at Eagle Creek and stopped there first, and they watched her play the first few holes, and she was pretty nervous, I think, golfing in front of them, and started off a little rough, but finished with a 52 for her personal best, so that was really nice, kicked her summer off with that, and she's looking forward to working hard. So yeah, that brings us to sections on Wednesday, day one. Currently, we're in first place, 64 over. Bold is in second place, 84 over. Dawson Boyd's in third place, 90 over. And Community Christian School's in fourth place, 93 strokes over par. So we have a 20-stroke lead over Bold. They are a very good team, very experienced. And so, our goal is to try to increase that lead and do a little better. The girls did well. It was one of our better first day rounds at sections, so that was nice to see over the years and look back and compare. And And so they're looking forward to getting back there Wednesday. We had a real good practice yesterday, and we'll practice on Monday. And so, you know, we're just continually looking at ways to you know, get better. They're an awesome team. They truly believe, I think, that everybody's going to do well, or if somebody's having a tougher day, that somebody else is going to pick them up. So all six girls have scored throughout the season at least two rounds, so that's nice, and I think that keeps it a balanced team. And Bella Jacobs has just been really awesome at leading them by example, and she's a quiet leader, but she's out there, and she's, you know, wanting to take on the best golfers from the other teams and compete with them and try to get ahead a little bit and keep that pressure on them.
Okay. Scores?
Individual scores. Bella's leading the tournament with a 76. She had a few birdies to start out. Not the first hole, but I think the second, third, and fourth hole, she had like three birdies in a row. So that really put the pressure on Kenna Hendrickson from Bold, who's in second place with a 79. So she has a three-stroke lead over Kenna, and they have some history over the summers, playing in some tournaments last summer, and good kid, good team. And in third place is Molly with an 83. Caitlin is in sixth place with a 92. Grace Vosick is in 16th place with a 100. Peyton Sachs finished with a 107 for 21st place, and Kate Alstead shot a 109 for 24th. So individually, that's where the girls sit. And to qualify for state, it's the top team, and then the next best five individual scores not being on that team. So,
right.
Other local gals, Lindsay Lund shot a 16 over, and Alyssa Swedinski 21 over for Dawson. So they currently are in those top five spots, and their team's in third place also. So so they've been solid all year. Dawson has a real nice young team, and I think has helped us to be better, because we can never let up. And they make us better by, we know we got to keep getting better because they're getting better.
Okay.
So it's nice to have that good competition and quality conference play for us.
And the state tournament is the same place as the boys, the same 2 days?
Yes, in Becker, June 13th and 14th. Monday is the banquet. So, most teams come in, do a practice round on Monday, and then go to the banquet at 7 o'clock in St. Cloud. And, if we make it as a team, we do a different schedule. We will go to the course on Monday and chip and putt, and but we will not play a practice round, and we do those prior to that. So
right. And Paul will be at Wilmer on Wednesday giving updates and that. And the nice thing about golf is you can find out the scores as they happen. That's amazing. So.
Yeah, if you have the Iwanamaker app, and you can purchase it. I don't remember what the cost is, but the State High School League should have it on their site. And I did ask the girls that, because as I was looking at the app a little bit when we started out, we're 6-7 holes into the round, and Bold is leading us by two, and we're down, and then we're up two, and they're down. And I was like, were you girls watching that? Yeah. I go, what were you thinking? Because, it's kind of scary at first. And, they just said, well, we know our team is in the end going to come out on top. So
good.
So that was nice. And doing it and actually seeing it. So, but it's fun. They're a great group of kids. And, we'll go and give it a whirl.
Well, that's good. And like I said, Paul will be at the section and be doing some interviews with the gals and yourself. And, best of luck. I guess we'll find out how they do before the next coaches show, but then you can let us know more detail next Saturday morning.
Yep.
That's Kip Stender on Girls Golf. We'll take a break here, have the 9 o'clock news, and then come back with the rest of the coaches show after that 9 o'clock after this.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap. This is KLQP, Madison Dawson. Time for news and weather brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, located in Hendricks, Minnesota.
The talks continue. I'm Samantha Liepman, Fox News. Progress is being reported, but a deal on the debt limit still hasn't been reached. Fox's Chad Perkram has more from Washington.
The president will be away this weekend, but GOP negotiators are at the Capitol. However, negotiator Patrick McHenry says the sides feel the tension. The pressure is on as time slips off the clock.
We are in the middle of a lot of different conversations. Consequences are greater, but stepping back, the whole context of this is changing the trajectory of the country in a way that we haven't seen in generations.
The biggest hurdle could be work mandates for people to receive federal aid. This emerged as a major dividing line. If GOP members defect, Democrats could make up the difference, but not without concessions.
Yesterday, Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen updated the default deadline. The new date before America runs out of money to pay its bills is June 5th. Hospitalizations for COVID-19 are down, way down. Fox's Jackie Ibanez has the latest numbers.
A key coronavirus statistic is hitting a new record low. The CDC says this past week, a little more than 8,000 people were hospitalized across the U.S. with the virus. This is the lowest number since hospitalization tracking started in the summer of 2020 and the third straight year with record lows around this time.
Earlier this month, the U.S. ended its COVID-19 public health emergency. Restrictions for foreign travelers, including proof of vaccination, were also lifted. As the weather heats up, more police officers are hitting the streets. Cities nationwide are making law enforcement more visible in the hopes of deterring crime. Many communities are even leaning on civilians to help enforce curfews. America is listening to Fox News.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, Fox News Rewind Financial Crisis 08.
This is an extraordinary period for America's economy.
A look back at the biggest financial crisis since the Great Depression.
The market is not functioning properly.
And the events leading up to it from the people who were there.
You started to see the Dow plunge in synchronicity with the vote on the House floor.
Subscribe now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you download podcasts.
Never, ever 100% trust Wall Street.
New from the Fox News Podcasts Network.
I'm Dana Perino, co-host of The Five and co-anchor of America's Newsroom. Join me for season three of my limited time podcast, Everything Will Be Okay. I'll chat with guests who have had major career or life pivots and people who have persevered and are leaving a trail of inspiration for all of us to follow. Of course, we'll have some laughs along the way. Make sure you subscribe to this series wherever you download podcasts. I'm Dana Perino, and everything will be okay.
Thinking of building a pole barn, garage, home addition, or deck? Think of Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company. They're your one-stop building headquarters. They can draw up your plans, figure an estimate free. They do houses, additions, cabinetry, floor coverings, and garages. Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company for all your building needs, paints, building materials, fencing. Give them a call at 507-275-3359. That's area code 507-275-3359. For all your building needs, it's Hendricks Farmers Lumber Company, located downtown Hendricks, Minnesota.
Here's your Q92 country weather for western Minnesota and eastern South Dakota. Bright sunshine today with a high of 85. South winds 15 to 20 miles per hour. Clear skies again tonight. Lows dip down to about 54. Highs around 87 tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies and calm. Temperatures well above average Monday and Tuesday with highs in the upper 80s. Storms possible both days. Take a look at the extended forecast, 88 on Wednesday. Another look at the short range, high of 85 today. Lows level off around 54 tonight. We should top out at 87 tomorrow. From the Weatherology Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Q92 Country. Right now, 73.
News and weather has been brought to you by Hendricks Farmers Lumber, Hendricks, Minnesota.
We always love time at the lake. Visit with the neighbors and fishing with the grandkids. I've been installing floors for over 30 years, crawling around the lot. My knee pain was getting worse. It was harder to do the things I wanted to do, so I went to CCM Health. Dr. Brandt made me feel real comfortable right away. Just seems down to earth, doesn't pressure you. I trust CCM Health to do my knee surgery when it's time. CCM Health has helped me live my life.
You studied hard, you stayed up late, you made the grade. This graduation salute comes to you from Whitnable Construction in Madison. Congratulations on your accomplishments. We are proud of the people you have become. We look forward to seeing what you achieve as you move forward. Congratulations from Whitnable Construction in Madison. Mineota Building Materials, located along Highway 68 in Mineota, has all your complete building needs. Competitive prices, free estimates, materials on hand. They feature high-quality, low-cost buildings, agricultural buildings, commercial buildings, and residential buildings. So stop in and visit with Kevin Jerzak, manager. They have what you are looking for. That's Mineota Building Material, 115 West 1st Street, Mineota. Give them a call at 507-872-6147. That's area code 507-872-6147, Mineota Building Materials, Mineota.
See a movie at the Grand Theater in Madison, Minnesota, showing Friday, May 26th through Monday, May 29th in Theater 1. It's Fast X, Fast and Furious 10, rated PG-13. In Theater number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, rated PG-13. That's Guardians of the Galaxy in Theater 2. Both show once nightly at 7, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at the Grand.
The time now, 9:06.
Good morning, everyone. Time for the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, brought to you by Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, the Country Butcher in Dawson, and Madison Bottling Company. Now the Coaches Show with Dick Newman and Paul Ramo.
Back here at the studio, second half of the Saturday Morning Coaches Show, and once again, it's the first half is starting at 8:30 because we have seven sports in the spring, and now we've got three down and four more to go, and we're going to tackle two of them right here with John Sherb in boys and girls track. And you had the subsection this past week under, I think, pretty much ideal conditions. A little windy.
Yep, a little windy.
But weather-wise, pretty good, and some great results, John.
Yeah, the kids really are starting to find their stride. Because it was a little windy out of the south. The nice thing at Benson, you do get some protection from a little bit of the wind to school and some of the trees and everything else. But it was a southeast wind, and the temperature was on the warmer stage. Just that wind, it's kind of like a mini version of a hairdryer blowing your face. But it's still, as a distance runner, not liking it. Again, we always talk about distance runners don't like the heat as much since you haven't seen it as much. The sprinters love it. Jumpers love it just because the explosive muscles are there. So you kind of, hit or miss. You kind of maybe 5 degrees cooler, maybe in that low 70s be better yet. But, hey, everybody's got to compete in the same situation, right. And you go. And like I said, I thought our kids really, really did some good things.
Good.
Qualifying, going into subs, to qualify the section meet, you have to place top four in your subsection. Then once you place top four, then you compete. But then if you also are like fifth, sixth, or seventh, you could still qualify on performance list. This year we had on our performance list wasn't as deep. We had enough kids in that top four, so we really didn't have a performance list really to fight with as much this year. So that kind of shows our kids have really jumped into that next level. So going in up there, like I said, we had a lot of ideas. We changed a lot of things around. Now we tried to qualify. We weren't, the points issue, yeah, it's nice to get points, but now we're trying to say, hey, how many can we qualify? How high can we qualify? And that's what we're kind of looking, because when you get into the section meet, you're going to have two heats of every event. Well, you want to try to put your kids in that fast heat. And so that's why we wanted to try to get our spots in the fast heat as all possible. And like I said, I thought our kids really put it together. Up there, you know, I'll go through both boys and girls. I'll just slide across. 100-meter dash. The boys' side, we did not have Garrett. You know, he pulled his hammy at the conference meet in the 4x1. So I said he was done. So that hurt a lot. It was tough watching him around there just because, you know, first year out for track, really a lot of success in that 100. That also now he has to watch that meet as a senior, so that was really tough. But I thought he did a really nice job helping kids all around. You know, it's a tight thing with that hammy, and just not going to take chances with a young man. We want him to have a life where he doesn't have an issue with that when he's 25, 30 years old. So we went to a younger bunch in there. Damian Torres was our top runner. He finished 9th overall, 12.47. Porter Peterson was 14th at 14.07. Girls 100, Bailey Bothan was 6th at 14.25. Peyton Mole was 9th at 14.50, and Trishana Majar was 19th at 16.52. 200-meter dash for boys, David Torgerson was 12th at 28.69. Porter Peterson was 14th at 29.40. 200-meter dash, Maya Conroy was 6th with a time of 28.96. Sadie Hacker was 7th at 29.28. So far, out of those races, we have not qualified any, and we didn't. Maya was our chance. She just didn't have a very good start, and it's too bad for her senior year of not getting that 200. Just didn't have that explosive out of the block. So, as of right there, we don't have anybody qualifying yet for individually. But, you know, we had spots we weren't thinking we were going to have it. We're just trying to see where we're at. 400-meter dash, Keegan Wick was 5th. 55.21, I know. Our jumper's a little sore, so I don't know what that was all about. I know Keegan's hamstrings are a little, really tight, and that's not a good deal, especially when you're trying to get into the relays and you don't need that. So he was tight, Boyk was tight, and so was Hagelin. So those guys were really, really tight, and they're a big jumper. But he still ran a really nice time at 55.21 to finish 5th. Did not qualify, which is not the end of all worlds, because with our 4x4, him and also the triple jump, we can get some save his legs a little bit that way. Girls 400, we've got some really, really nice 400-meter runners that are in this race and also in other races that could fill into the quarter too. Addie Tufto, again, she's put herself in that spot. She was 2nd overall, 102.76. You know, she's the one that's got a really good chance if she can go one more level up. That one more level up is one flat. That's going to put her in that level that she has a chance to go to the big dance. And it's going to be up to how well she focuses, because the quarter in our section is very, very strong. And she's right in the thick of things, and you got to like the way she's finishing with that. The Micaiah Pruse was 4th at 106.96. Daytona Bissett was 6th at 112.54. So Micaiah also qualified there in the quarter. 800-meter run, Justin Perkins was 6th at 215.28. And then Tanner Callis was 8th at 217.41. Young Tanner, we got some. He's really learning on the go. He found out that he decided to lead the first 200, 400 meters of the 800, and a little hotter than normal. Found out what it's like to really hit the wall. But you like that enthusiasm. You like the kid the way he wants to get out and fight in that. So, you know, as a ninth grader, maybe it's something we've got down the road that's really going to step up and do some things if we continue to grow with him. And so that's kind of see where we have there. And then also Jordan Perkins was 13th at 229.22. 800-meter run, Taylor Wood continued. She had a little bit of not a sharpness at the conference meet. She looked really, really sharp at the subsection meet. And I believe this is a PR for her. She was 2nd overall, 232.07. She's in that edge of, again, breaking that 230 ballpark, and that's kind of what we're hoping to step in the next one. Paisley Martinson, 246.59. She has grown a lot through this and really has made some great steps. Then Hannah Gauthier, senior, who 3 weeks ago was all she was sprinting. And then now she's running 800s, and she has really, really dropped. She has dropped now 14 seconds in 3 weeks of time. 249.40. So you really got to like how well she has closed it out to make this. And, you know, I'm looking kind of challenged as a coach by saying, God, I should have done this about a month sooner than when I did. But you just don't know, and you just kind of take a whim, and it worked really well for her. Mile, Gavin Carl really controlled the whole race this whole way. Tried to stay on pace, but when you're in the heat by yourself. He ended up winning, but he looked comfortable with it. Didn't look like he was, even the finishing straightaway, he kind of backed off a little bit just because I think the heat and no one else to drive him in. But he won it with a time of 450.05. The girls' mile, Chloe Gliggy was fourth. She finished with a time of 608.73. 3,200 meter run, Gavin Carl won the 3,200 meter pretty much, again, just out on a move and just rolling. Never really looked tired. He was on marks, hitting marks, just see how he can get through it and look controlled and comfortable with 10:52.77. And the girls' 3,200 meter run, Chloe Gliggy was third at 14:08. Brooklyn Sterra was fourth at 14:17, and Reese Oxendorf was in fifth at 14:19. All three of those girls, as again what I saw in standards, all three will qualify for this section meet. So that's really good because you're basically you're looking at eighth grader, seventh grader, sophomore in that bunch, and so hopefully this is learning to give them experience for down the road. 110 hurdles, James Weber was a second, 16.92. Ethan Hurston was fourth at 18:27. 100-meter hurdles, Ayanna Hasted won it, 17.78. Then we had Alexis Olson in seventh at 19:74, and Calista Borman was in eighth at 19:82. 300 hurdles, James Weber was second, 43.80, and then also Ethan Hersham was in fourth at 45.38. And then Joseph Felton was 11th at 56:40. 300 hurdles, Alexis Olson was 5th at 56:94. And then also we had Andy Doctor at 8th at 101.85. And Ellis Stock in 9th at 105.25. 4x1 boys, without Garrett, it really takes a big chunk out. So we had to rearrange our 4x1. And plus, also Gabe Lowry was really, really tight in his hips. So we had to take him out. So very, very tough to replace, you know, two people in your 4x1. We replaced ourselves and we still got the baton around. And that's all you can ask. And we ended up finishing 6th, 49.97. That was Ethan Hersham to Noah Meyer to Damian Torres to David Torgerson. 4x1 girls, really ran a PR. I think we almost cut a full second off our 4x1 time. So that was really a nice surprise. Had some really nice handoffs. We made a little change in there. We put Bailey Bothan in there just to kind of see where she was at, if we could change a little bit. And sure enough, we went 54.82 to finish third. That was Peyton Moe to Bailey Bothan to Morgan Hansen to Sadie Hacker. 4x2 boys, again, we just kind of were just wanted to have a relay team together to see how we could go with that. They finished 6th, 143.35. Continue to run well. We just, again, it's just, you know, we're rebuilding that 4x2, and that's all you can ask. 4x2 girls looked very, very sharp, had some nice handoffs in there. We're just right now, we're kind of in that lull of in that 54 barrier, and you just got to get through that, and I think we're ready to go, hopefully this next week, to go at it. We were 2nd. That was Lexi Gliggy, Addie Tufte, to Bailey Bothan, to Maya Conroy. 4x4, we've put together a pretty solid 4x4 on both boys and girls now. Boys were 2nd, 341.19. That was James Weber to Brayson Boyk to Justin Perkins to Keegan Wick. And that was and they went 341.19. They're 2nd. And the girls, we were 3rd in that. Still ran a really fast time. That's our season best also there on the girls' side. They were 3rd. That was Annika Furnos, Micaiah Poost, Morgan Hansen, Addie Tufto. 4x8, they end up finishing, the boys finished 5th, and that was at 9:47.48. That was Justin Perkins, Jordan Perkins, Joseph Felton, and Tanner Callis. And by my numbers, they will get a chance to run it at the section meet on the boys, so that's good for them. So kind of we want to try to see if we can peak. And we didn't have our greatest of times, but I think, you know, we can drop 10 seconds off very easily if we just clean up a couple of things, and we'll be better. 4x8 girls, they were 2nd overall, 11:04.55. They got kind of caught in no man's land there where there was no one around them, so they were kind of running by themselves and trying to handle the heat. And that will change next week just with how deep we'll be in that 4x8. But still, 10:11:04 was good. Taylor Wood to Paisley Martinson, to Annika Furnos, to Micaiah Poost. Shot put on the girls' side, Haley Anderson was 3rd. She qualified into there, so she will get a shot in that. Then also Paige Meyer at 29.8, finished 5th. And then in 7th, Isabel Long-Henry was 7th with 28 feet 4 inches. Boys shot put, Noel Meyer continued. He didn't quite make his 8-foot improvement from the conference meet, but he did make another foot improvement. So it's not quite 8, but it still is a better number. So he has come a long ways in making his presence known there. So he's only a sophomore. Hopefully we'll build something off him. Finished 8th making finals at 36 feet. And then Gabe Lowry was 14th at 29 feet. In the girls' discus, we end up having Paige Meyer finishing 3rd overall, 92 feet and 1 inch. Then we had Haley Anderson, 88 feet 3 inches. And Isabel Long-Henry was in 13th at 69 feet 4 inches. Boys high jump, Brayson Boyd continues. You know, this can be a deep field. And there's another 6'6 kid, so there's some really, really sound jumpers in this section meet. So he went to state last year. The gray kid from Canby went there. There's a kid down at Southwest Christian's going well. I think there's another one down there. So there's 4 really good jumpers that I think will all jump standard. And that's what the biggest thing is. Standard gets you into the state, so that's what we're looking at that way. But he continues to jump very well. He went 6'4", and that's consistency what we have. So he was won it. And Eli Hagelin was 3rd at 6 foot, so he continues to make his progress on there. He gets into that one. You know, he's only 2 inches off from qualifying the state standard, so you never know. Anything can happen. High jump, Ayan Hasta was 2nd at 5 foot. You know, her state standard is 5'2". She's only 2 inches off from a standard to get in. I think she can do that too. She's been really jumping well. Calista Borman was 9th at 4'4". And then Sadie Rosendahl, a young 8th grader, was 4'2" also. In the long jump, Brayson won the long jump at 21 feet 6 inches. The biggest thing is it's going to be with him is going to be there are some good jumpers in there, but, you know, again, we're always looking at that state standard that guarantees you a shot at the state. Then you don't have to worry about on your placing. So that's kind of what, and he's right at that. I think he's either inch on it or inch below it of the state standard. So he's consistently jumping that way. Girls long jump, our top jumpers were in there. It was Calista Borman. She was at 13 feet 6 3/4. I believe that's a personal best for her also. Abigail Alonzo, 12 feet 9 inches. That's a personal best. And Reese McCoy, also at 12.6 and 5. I believe that's also at personal best. So we're jumping at the right time with personal best. Triple jump, Brayson had some issues on his first two jumps. Was long. So he scratched on his first two, but then got a decent one on a third because you're going 3 and then you're going into finals. And he doesn't get a third one in, there's no section competition for. But he got himself together, ran, went big. I went 43 feet 10 and 3/4. That is above state standard. So he's on that level, and that's where we're going to need to go. There's a kid, Southwest Christian's a good jumper down there, and also Adrian. So there's me 3 good jumpers in there, and just get that mark, we go on. Eli Hagelin was 2nd at 40 feet 2 inches, and then Keegan Wick was 5th at 37 feet 10 inches. All 3 of those are in. And the girls' triple jump, Calista Borman went 31 feet 10 inches. That's a PR by a foot, I believe, with her. So that's a good way for her to hit that mark. So she's in. Ayan Hasta was right behind her at 31 feet 3 inches. And then Reese McCoy went 29 feet 3 3/4 inches to finish in 9th. And she made finals. And I think that's also personal best for her. So that was really, really good to see the kids going. Scoring-wise, team, the boys ended up getting 2nd behind Monty. We just don't have the depth on. But again, we're doing what we can, and it's nice to hear your scores at for team. The girls were 3rd. We were only half a point out of 2nd. So, I mean, and the girls, we qualified a lot, and that's the stage you're looking at for the section meet next Thursday.
Yeah. And change locations, go to Montevideo?
Yep, we go to Montevideo on sections. A nice thing with that one is we'll start field events at 2 o'clock, and then they'll get a lot of the field events out of the way before they get to the running event. So, because you have that problem where you got kids trying to go from running event to a field event, back to the running event. So they're trying to kind of minimize that a little bit, and that's going to help a lot. I mean, that's the nice thing is with our kids, we got some kids that are going to be in that boat. And the other headache is also going to be the concurring events where you have 2 kids competing. Well, I have 1 competing 2 events, so we got to fight that one. So where it goes, how it goes, we'll find out. But I really like our chances. A lot of events we have, we're in the spot to do very well. It's, again, how well do they mentally prepare? How well do they give themselves a chance? Because they can only control their own issues. You don't know what any other team does. We just got to do our own. I think we'll be very, very good at a lot of spots and place them very high. You know, we've got events that, boys and girls, that the state tournament is in the sights. It's just, will we get there?
Yeah, and you mentioned doing the field events or running field events first, but you got some people that are in two of those. I mean, high jumping and long jumping and triple jumping.
Nope.
They got to go from place to place to place, but hopefully, knock on wood, they'll do well.
Yep, and that's the, and they've been through it. I think that's a nice thing. We're very, very seasoned with our jumpers, so they've know what's going on, and I think that's going to help a lot. And some younger kids, it's going to be a little bit more of a mad dash upstairs, and hopefully that won't be a problem. But top two will qualify for the state meet. I have not looked at anything on the state tournament. I'm not going to worry about that until we get through Thursday. But top two, if you jump a standard or run a standard time, that will also get you a state meet. I know we had some issues last year at the section meet where, unfortunately, they didn't have wind gauges in the right spots, and we had to fight that mess. We had, you know, Brayson went through it last year where he was in the long jump turnaround. Now he's out of the long jump because there was no wind gauge, so we had to fight that for a day and a half, and if we finally got that figured out, and then they finally said, no, you're in on Tuesday afternoon. It's just like how to keep things stable. It was a pain in the rear end, but again, I think the section people are running it now have learned a lot. They need to make sure they can't fall behind because you're holding consequences to the kids, and it's not fair to the kids.
Yeah, and I know we'll talk about it next week, but the state tournament is when and where?
It is at St. Michael Albertville. Okay. It's a three-day state tournament because of three classes, and then they go prelims and finals, so they kind of flip that around a little bit, so that's kind of that deal. So it's a little different experience.
Okay, well, got a smile on your face from the subsection, so hope that smile lasts another week, and we'll hear all about it next Saturday morning, John.
Sounds good.
John Sherb on Boys and Girls Track, and we'll be Paul Ramo talked to the baseball and softball coaches because they're in action at 1 o'clock today, and we will hear his interview with Darby Biergun on baseball next.
Sparkling ice water. Goodbye, plain. Hello, plain awesome. Sparkling ice is a fizzy, flavorful, and not bland beverage without all the calories. They're one of the biggest brands in the sparkling water category. If you're looking to put a little sparkle in your step, look no further than the delicious lineup of waters. Sparkling ice, distributed by Madison Bottling Company, serving the local area for more than 100 years.
Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods, right downtown Dawson, Minnesota, is your one-stop shopping headquarters for graphic art design, embroidery, screen printing, and specialty advertising products. They specialize in corporate, team, and school clothing, hats, jackets, t-shirts, sweats, advertising specialties for any occasion like family reunions, summer camps, and more. Awards and Sporting Goods. At Jim's Clothing and Sporting Goods in Dawson, they offer personalized stock or custom graphic designs to fit any job you may need. Give them a call at 320-769-2317 for information or look them up on the web at www.jimsclothing.com.
Hats off to our area beef producers during May Beef Month from the Country Butcher in Dawson. Stop by right downtown or give them a call, 320-769-2238. The Country Butcher will accept credit cards, checks, EBT, SNAP, and cash. And they're taking pulled pork orders for graduation, so give them a call. Store hours Tuesday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Saturdays, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Sunday by appointment. The Country Butcher will deliver fresh-cut and frozen products free of charge during the city's infrastructure project. Call between 10 and noon each day for delivery that day or evening. The retail store will remain open and will cut fresh steaks and chops and have fresh ground beef on hand. That's the Country Butcher in Dawson. They're a cut above the rest.
Hoover Law Office and Mediation Center, located at 677 Pine Street in Dawson, is a full-service law firm providing legal services in family law, real estate, criminal defense, bankruptcy, probate, and estate planning. If you are in need of legal counsel, call our office at 320-769-2150 to set up an appointment to meet with Attorney Doug Kluver, or you can check us out online at kluverlaw.com. You can rely on Kluver Law Office and Mediation Center to continue to be your local full-service law firm and provide professional and prompt legal services.
It's graduation time when yesterday's proud moments and happy memories meet tomorrow's bright hopes and dreams. Congratulations to the area graduates from Ludvigson Tiling in Madison.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. Darby Biergun is in the studio, but he's going to be in Granite Falls later today, aren't you, Darby?
Yeah, we start Section 3A North playoff baseball on Saturday. Our first game's at 1 o'clock.
All right. Should be fun. Beautiful day for baseball.
Oh, we've had some great days here for baseball this last week. So hate to say it. could use a shot of rain probably, but yep. You know, we for baseball wise, we this is perfect weather.
That's right. Well, you wrapped up the regular season this past week. Why don't you tell us about it, Darby?
Sure, yep. So on Tuesday, we had RTR came to town, and we got to face probably the best pitcher in the conference by the name of Cody Wickman.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the cousins that played on the RTR State Basketball Championship team, so they're just good athletes to begin with, RTR is, and so we were pretty excited to see him and see if we could hit him and stuff like that, and we squared up the ball quite a few times. Some of them were hit, some of them were outs, but we were able to hit him, so it was a good refresher right before going into playoffs.
So RTR, are they first in the conference then? Or?
I believe KMS won it KMS beat them early in the season.
Oh, they did, okay. So. Yeah, I don't get the chance to see the standings too much in baseball. So
right,
and sure where people stand.
Right, and games get moved because of weather and stuff like that. So it's a little bit more difficult to track.
Hard to follow. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
But RTR's up there.
Yes. Yep. Okay. RTR was right. It was basically Minnesota RTR and KMS that were at the top of the conference.
Okay.
So
okay.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
Real close all year.
All right, so how'd the game go for you?
Sure. So RTR got up on us quick. They went, or in the third anyways, they got four runs, and then they got another in the fourth, so they were up 4-0. 5-0. But we came back and put three up in the fifth on our own. So we started that off with Landon Weber, who's been swinging a really good bat lately, playing left field for us. He had a single. And Joseph Ramsbacher walked, giving us first and second. And Brock Biernield had a hard hit to the shortstop that moved our guys up. He was able to reach two. Then we were able to scratch across Weber and Ramsbacher by Keimig's fielder's choice. And then Dylan Geiser had a huge double that scored Keimig from first base. Keimig was stealing second and just kept going all the way to home. So he scored Ramsbacher and Keimig on his double. So that was our three runs for the day. Like I said, RTR is just a real solid team. Cody Wickman threw against us. He threw six innings. We put him up to 100 pitches, so we saw a lot of pitches and had some really, really good at-bats. I just recall TJ Mitchell's at-bat late in the game. He must have been 0-2 and probably fouled off 4 or 5 pitches. You know, that, you know, it doesn't show in the book, but those are quality at-bats. If you can see that many pitches and keep following them off, going down 0-2, 1-2 early in the count. So I was real proud with the guys about how we put our put solid at-bats together and quality at-bats, like I said. So turned out, though, in the long run, that just kind of the story of our year so far is if we have some mental errors and physical errors, we just can't hang all the way, and if we eliminate those, we could possibly win these games, and that kind of happened to us again, having a few errors in the field and some mental errors also. So offensively, Dylan Keimig was 1-for-3 with a run and an RBI and a walk. Dylan Geiser, as I said, he had a double, but he was 2-for-4 with those two RBIs. Caden Molden was 2-for-4, and Landon Weber, been swinging a hot stick for us lately in left field, getting a few more at-bats. He was 2-for-3 with a run. And Joseph Ronsbacher had our other run. He was able to reach a couple times, one by a walk. So it was fun to see him on senior night. So we got him on senior night. He got to be on the mound a little bit. So Joseph played a good role for us on Tuesday. On the mound for us, Dylan Geiser started. He threw three innings. He gave up 6 hits, 4 runs. 3 of those runs were earned, 2 walks and 4 strikeouts. Joseph Ramsbacher came in second, like I said. He threw 2 innings. He had 4 hits, 3 runs, 1 earned. He had no walks and a strikeout. And Brock Biernield, we wanted to get him on the mound, so he got a little refresher. It's been a little bit since he saw the rubber. And because we'll need all our arms going into playoffs, so we wanted to get everybody a little taste on the mound there before we went in. He threw 2 innings. He gave up 1 hit, 1 run. It was not earned. Walked 2, and he had a strikeout. So we ended up losing the game 8-3, but only giving up 4 earned runs. So we got to clean that up as we talk about after the game and every day in practice. If we eliminate our mental errors and physical errors and walks, the game's a pretty easy game if we can do that.
Okay. So that wrapped up your regular season. How did the regular season go for you? Did a
Yep, correct.
Nutshell here.
Yep. So in the season we were 6-7. We were 6-6 in conference. We only had one non-conference game. In the section we finished up fourth. So we'll be playing Lakeview, who is the 5 seed in Granite Falls here today at 1 o'clock. So okay. As far as the conference, we finished middle of the pack. So I'd have to look back again myself. I was more concerned about our section seating and stuff like that than conference seating, but yep. I think we were right in the 6th or 7th slot for conference.
Yeah. First year head coach, how's it going for you so far?
Well, yeah, you know, it's a learning process for me too. So, yep. You know, being around the game for so many years, you know, you know what to expect. But then as a head coach, there's some things that you do not expect. So, yeah, it's been fun so far. And, you know, having a great supporting cast behind me, whether it's friends or family or whatever it might be, is a huge thing too.
That's right. Well, as you mentioned, you got it's single elimination first round today, right?
Correct. So if we lose this first game, or anybody that loses in the first round, then they are done for the year. But if they win the first game, then it turns into a double elimination tournament.
Okay, and that's what you want.
Correct. Yep. That's the first one's a big one, and many times many times you'll see the number one pitcher from every team, and then we just kind of go by, you know, depth and who can hit the ball from there on out.
The main thing is to stay in the winner's bracket.
Correct, yep.
It makes your life a lot easier,
yes,
doesn't it?
Yes, correct. Winner's bracket is a savior if you can get there and stay there, that's for sure.
So how did you do against Lakeview during the season?
So we lost them early in the season. We lost 8-9 on a really windy day here at Loch Parle in Madison. Okay. And yeah, it was a good game. That was one of the games where we didn't have any errors, but Lakeview was hitting the ball. So we know that they have good sticks. We're kind of expecting to see the same guy that we saw here. But we'll see when we get there, I guess.
All right, and good luck this afternoon then, Darby.
Appreciate it, Paul.
You bet. Head coach Darby Biergon of Loch Parle Valley baseball team. We'll take a break, come back, more to Coach's Show after this.
Schimmel Mutual Fire Insurance in Appleton salutes the following Loch Parle Valley graduates: Claire Lowry, Riley Lund, Madeline Matthews, Benjamin Maddox, Paige Meyer, Nicole Miller-Rakowski, Reese Mitchell, and Peyton Moe. You studied hard, you stayed up late, you made the grade. Congratulations from Schimmel Mutual Fire Insurance in Appleton.
Race fans, you're not going to want to miss this Monday night as Madison Speedway opens up its racing season with the Raleigh Rolfe season opener, sponsored by Madison Bottling. 6 o'clock Monday night, you'll see all 6 classes in action. Once again, this Monday night, the Raleigh Rolfe season opener at Madison Speedway. I'm your track announcer, Scotty Ireland, and we will see you at the track.
Peter and Vicki Strand of the Strand Agency in downtown Dawson look forward to helping you with all your farm, business, and auto insurance needs. Give Peter or Vicki a call today at 320-769-4410. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 to 5, and you can find them on Main Street, Dawson. That's the Strand Agency, Peter and Vicki Strand.
Congratulations, graduates in the class of 2022 from Rick Stoltz and your friends at Swenson, Nelson & Stoltz Law Office in Madison, Minnesota. Chasing a dream requires efforts, passion, and hard work. You're now half the way. Keep up your good work. Continue to strive. Congratulations. Some of the graduates at Loch Parle Valley High School this year include Benjamin Maddox, Paige Meyer, Nicole Miller-Rakowski, Reese Mitchell, Peyton Moe, and Whitney Persicky. Best of luck to you and your fellow graduates from the Law Office of Swenson, Nelson & Stoltz in Madison.
Hi, I'm Taylor Shelstead.
I'm Ayana Gibson.
I'm Riley Lund of the Loch Parle Valley softball team.
The LQPV softball team would like to thank our Dugout Club home run sponsors for their donations of $500 or more. Thank you to Lovickson Tiling, Cargill, Zarbrook Funeral and Cremation Service, Holloway Rod and Gun Club, Fernholtz Concrete, Clement Electric, Appleton VFW Post 4955, Meyer Farms, Piotr Construction, Trigested, Pioneer Seeds, Prairie Sun Bake Marietta, The Dryer Doctors, Martinson Foundation,
Bellingham American Legion Post number 441, Mike and Deanne Munsterman Family, Borsted Rock and Excavation, Q92 FM Radio, Madison Chiropractic Center, Richard and Sam Meyer Family. Thank you to our home run sponsors and all donors for your support of our softball program and the LQPV Dugout Club.
Welcome back to the Saturday Morning Coaches Show. We're going to talk Loch Parle Valley softball with head coach Scott Sawatsky. Good morning, Scott.
Morning, Paul. How are you today?
Good. Well, before we talk about the games this past week, you got a big day today.
Yeah. We put in some more meaningful practice and taking a lot of reps and preparation, just trying to clean some things up and prepare our girls for different situations and try to boost some confidence with their plate appearances. So I guess we'll see how well we did, but I think they're ready to compete, ready to get after it.
Okay, real good. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but let's back up. I believe it was last Tuesday out at Lac Parole. You got to host some playoff games.
Yeah, we were the 2 seed, and so we were able to host, which is great. A wonderful turnout. Certainly appreciate people coming out to support the girls, cheer them on. I know it means a lot to the kids. They love playing in front of people and showing off their talents. And we had Dawson Boyd for our first game. It was a 2-7, and we had played them a couple times in the regular season, and they really did a nice job. Kelly's worked hard with the girls. And they gave us a pretty good battle. We got on the board in the second inning, scoring one run, and they bounced back in the third and tied it up. So we were 1-1 going into fourth, and we were the home team, so that helped a little bit. And in the fourth inning, we finally broke things open a little bit, scoring 3 runs. So we took a 4-3 lead heading into the fifth. And then we headed on into the sixth, and I mean it was a ball game, and it was a little bit of a pressure cooker, and I was hoping the bats would be a little bit more awake. But in the sixth, we were able to score 4 runs and give ourselves a little bit of a safety net, and that's how the score ended, was 8-1. Lac Parole Valley had 7 hits on the day, and Taylor threw a 2-hitter, and so I thought she was outstanding. She grinded. She had 11 strikeouts, 4 walks, gave up only the 1 run. It was an earned run, but threw all 7 innings. And I was contemplating trying to give her a little bit of a rest, but we, in preparation for the next game, but we weren't able to do that. Mm-hmm. So I thought she really stepped up, and we really expect nothing less from her. She's just such a competitor. And then at the plate, she did the same thing. She was 2-3, all of a sudden hitting some line drives. Hasn't necessarily had the season she expects to have because she holds such high standards for herself. But she was 2-3 with a run and an RBI. Kendall Shelstead was 1-2 with 2 runs. Ayanna Gibson was 1-3 with 1 run. And I got a shout out to Ayanna too. I mean, she's such a workhorse for us behind the plate, beating her body up and just, it's her first year catching and she just is like a sponge trying to take everything in. So I'm so proud of her. Maddie Matthews continues to excel at the plate. She's 1-3, scoring a run with 2 RBIs. Brandy Meyer, her bat's really coming around. She's 1-2 with 1 run. And Claire Borstead's 1-3 with 3 RBIs. Our girls did a nice job of hitting. I thought their pitcher, the Essling girl, really did a nice job, mm-hmm. too, of holding us down a little bit. But ultimately, we were able to walk out of there with an 8-1 win. So, give us a little bit of time to rest as we watched Yellow Medicine East compete against BDE in the second game, which was at Lac Parole Valley. And that was a really good game until I think about the sixth inning, and then we figured out that YME was going to be the team that we'd see in the third game.
Yeah, that first round, the first round with Dawson Boyd, that was single elimination, right?
It is, yep. So you lose that game, you're done. And then, so that's kind of what we talked about is, hey, we've got a free life right now, and that's kind of big. And we were not hoping to have to use it right away, but ultimately Yellow Medicine East came out and they did us in. We had a 1-0, it was 1-1, I believe, we had a 1-0 lead, mm-hmm. in the third inning. And then they scored a couple in the fifth, and we bounced right back and tied it up. And they scored another run in the sixth. The score was 3-2. Again, just kind of waiting for our bats to wake up, but they really didn't. We only had 5 hits on the day. The challenging piece is we had 5 errors, and that's been a challenge for us to overcome. I mean, we've been in so many games and let some things slip away just because of physical errors. And you know, we always say nobody's trying to make a physical error, so we get it. You're giving us your best, but they're hurting us. Mm-hmm. And so they're young, they're inexperienced, and hopefully we can put things together. And but those five errors were a killer. Once again, Taylor got out in the circle. She competed. She only gave up three hits, had two strikeouts and two walks. She gave up three runs. I think two of them were earned, or one of them, I believe, was earned, excuse me. And just she did what we need her to do, you know, and it's just it's unfortunate that we couldn't, you know, score a few runs. But the bottom line is at the end of the day, we got beat 3-2.
Well, they had a good young pitcher, that Sneller girl. I think she's only a ninth grader.
She is a ninth grader, and she does a nice job. She, you know, she struck us out 11 times. We couldn't lay off the high pitch, and then we let too many at our belt go. And and that's the way ball goes, you know. It's mm-hmm. frustrating. Nobody's trying to do it, but it's the game. But we're still very confident that even though the road got longer, we can compete with anybody that's out there. We just got to put it all together. You know, we've got to keep throwing strikes. We got to keep making plays. We got to keep swinging the bats, and we'll be fine. So today we are heading up here this morning to scout the first game, which is that we might, you know, assuming if we can beat MCC in our game at 1:00, we will take on the loser of KMS in Wabasso. And they play at 11.
Okay.
So we want to check that out a little bit and make some notes and make sure the girls have plenty of time to get warmed up. And hopefully we're playing two games today and moving on after that. So, but I can promise we're going to give it our best shot. And I know the girls are ready and they don't want to see the season come to an end. So I'm pretty sure they've all packed their A games today.
That's right. Well, can you tell us about Murray County Central, your opponent today?
Yeah, well, I don't know a whole lot about them. I know it's my hometown where I grew up. So I do.
That's
know.
Why I asked.
Yeah, a couple of the pitcher that will be throwing. I know the family very well, a couple of the other kids, and of course their head coach Elissa is somebody that I grew up. She was a few years younger than I am, so. You know, it's a little bit of a blast from the past, and I'm sure I'll see some faces that I definitely recognize and remember. But the bottom line is my blood is red right now and not purple. So we're going in looking for a W, hopefully we can come out that way.
Wasn't the Murray County Central coach, is that the coach that was had her baby last year during sections?
Nope, that was Wabasso.
Oh, that was Wabasso's coach. Okay.
Yeah, Elissa is the coach that she's the first female in Minnesota to make it to the state tournament, wrestling tournament.
Oh.
So she's she was a heck of a wrestler, competing against boys, and oh. At 100 and I think back then it was 103 pounds, and she was the first first female wrestler to make it to the state tournament in Minnesota. So.
All right. Well, don't get in an argument with her today, then.
I will not. I can assure you she's much quicker than I am.
All right, that's a 1:00 start this afternoon. You can hear that softball game right here on Q92. Looking forward to it, Scott.
Thanks. We appreciate the coverage and the support, Paul. And, mm-hmm. and for all of our fans, we hope we can put on a good show. And thanks for tuning in.
All right. We'll talk to you this afternoon. That's head coach Scott Swatsky of the Eagles, and we'll take a break. Come back with more of the Coach's Show after this.
Amy and Curtis at the Appleton Meat Center are excited because it's grilling season. So don't forget to pick up brats, steaks, pork chops, lean hamburger, pork sausage, and more. All their meats are choice grade and aged for taste and tenderness. Stop in or call in your order for meat bundles. Check out Appleton Meat Center Facebook page for specials and updates. Appleton Meat Center is open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5:30, and Saturday, 8 till noon. Got a good thing going on.
If you like high school sports, you'll love the Camden Recap, an all-sports weekly newspaper covering the schools of the Camden Conference, covering 13 school districts comprised of dozens of communities. From RTR to Ortonville, TMB to KMS, Lac Parle Valley to RCW, Dawson Boyd to Canby, everywhere in between, they've got your Camden Conference sports covered. For advertising and subscriptions, email advertising@camdenrecap.com or call 320-297-1461. That's 320-297-1461 for the Camden Recap. Congratulations to the graduating class from Madison Modeling, Madison, Minnesota. Graduation is the perfect time to look ahead, offer encouragement, and express optimism and excitement about the graduate's future. You don't even need a crystal ball to do it. Some of the graduates at Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Joseph Ramsbacher, Kaylee Raymond, Lindsay Robert, Charles Rolfsmeyer, Landry Schmidt, and Ethan Schomer. Best of luck to you and your fellow graduates from Madison Modeling, Madison, Minnesota. It's time for our seniors to put on their caps and gowns. It's a once-in-a-lifetime moment where all their hard work is finally recognized. Brian and Wendy at the Lac Parle County Farm Bureau office are proud of our graduating seniors and wish them all the best in the future. Some of the graduates at Lac Parle Valley High School this year include Madison Scott, Taylor Shellstead, Audrey Sieg, Callie Sieg, Riley Southern, and Damian Torres. Best of luck to you and your fellow graduates from Lac Parle County Farm Bureau.
Well, welcome back to the Coach's Show. We've completed another successful Coach's Show with 7 sports. It takes us more than an hour, so once again, tune in next Saturday morning starting at 8:30, and then we'll break at 9 o'clock for the news and come back with the rest of the Coach's Show until this time again next week. So, reminder of softball and baseball going on. Unfortunately, the softball and the baseball, softball in Marshall with Paul Ramo and baseball in Granite Falls with myself and Bart Hill starting at the same time. So softball will be done by Paul in entirely, and from periodically we'll do from Granite Falls some updates. Depending on the outcomes of those games, if the softball wins that first game, they'll play right immediately afterwards, and we'll hear that game from Paul Ramo. If they don't win and the baseball team wins, and then we'll go to Granite Falls and do that game. So it's the best we can do with one station, and the best thing for you to do is to go to one or the other and listen to the radio, the play-by-play, and then find out the updates on the other. So basically, that's what's going to happen. And if it continues on, I think Tuesday would be the next date, and then Thursday after that until teams are eliminated or qualify for the state tournament. Also, golf day two next week in the track section meet next week, and good luck to the individuals in tennis that were advancing on. So winding down, but it's exciting time of the year for sure. To end the show, as I try to do every week, Dick Newman's sick joke. Well, I've been doing some life hacks, like last week I think I talked about the banana. To peel it up from the bottom of it up to prevent the strings, and I've talked about some others. Well, here's another life hack that you may want to try, and I know Paul will attest to this, that it does work. If you're in an area where you should have cell service but don't, put your phone on airplane mode and then switch back. This will cause your phone to register and find all the towers in your vicinity. And Paul will attest to that it does work. Well, then closing as I do every week, thanks for listening. Tune in again next Saturday morning. And just remember, you don't have to play a sport to be one.
The time is 9:52. Great music for Montevideo, Benson, and Morris on Q92 KLQP-FM.
Dancing down the street with the suede blue eyes. Every new boy that you meet doesn't know the real surprise.